Hello and welcome to another Fast Five. This week it's Jem. And if you listened to our feature-length episode earlier this week, we were talking about the history around the movie Dunkirk. And we were meaning to give it more of a review than we actually did, but the important thing was, obviously, we are not a film podcast, and you probably don't want us to do that. But actually talking about, well, let's talk about the broader history, and there's only so much a film can actually put in terms of history, and some films are more historically accurate than other films, that I think we basically got the balance right. However, what I wanted to do in this Fast Five is talk a little bit more about the actual movie itself, okay? So, don't worry. Well, I mean, the thing is that I'm not sure how much you can talk about spoilers when we're talking about history that's over 70 years old. If you listen to the podcast on Tuesday, and if you have at least an interest in Dunkirk / World War II, then you already know basically what happened in it. Now, for those of you who don't know overall, what Christopher Nolan's done, Christopher Nolan does have this bit of an obsession about time. The bad guy, if you like, in Interstellar is, in essence, there isn't enough time, rather than a monster or anything like that. Inception is very much time-heavy, and the movie that brought everybody to attention to Christopher Nolan was Memento, where the whole movie ran backwards in time frame. Anyway, let's not get into that. So what he's done in this film is he separated three different stories around Dunkirk between 1 week, 1 day, and 1 hour. And it's not arbitrary, because the British soldiers on the beaches, on average, spent about a week on the beaches. So we have a British soldier and his attempt to get off the beach. Then we have the story of the little ships, the little boats that went over to obviously save the men on the beaches of Dunkirk. And it took them about a day for a round trip. So it makes sense to have a guy setting off in the morning and coming back at night. In other words, a whole day and what goes on there. And then the hour is for the RAF pilots, because they had basically about an hour's fuel to take off, do sorties over Dunkirk, and get back again. And indeed, so the hour bit is about Air Force pilots. And it's a really interesting way of doing the movies. Some critics have said, look, the characters are thin. There is actually a surprising lack of dialogue in the movie. But I think you're kind of missing the point in that situation. It's a bit like complaining that Pride and Prejudice is a great story, but there aren't many car chases in it. Well, that's not the idea. So the point about Dunkirk is, unlike many other war films, rather than trying to teach you everything around it, and as we said in the podcast, it doesn't cut away to Churchill in the war room saying, "Ah, we need to do this." It's about the experience of the Battle of Dunkirk, and therefore it's unsurprising that people aren't talking a lot, because there's not a lot to say when your ship is sinking, or if the Stuka dive bombers are attacking you. That's why characters don't talk a lot, and it would have been highly contrived if they suddenly sat there and went, "Oh, I can't wait to get home and meet Sally, my girlfriend," because it just wouldn't have felt real. The whole film, although it's full of technological tricks, feels very real. Interestingly, Sir Kenneth Branagh watched it with some veterans who are now in their 90s, who are actually there at Dunkirk, and they said the movie was louder than Dunkirk itself, which apparently Christopher Nolan found quite funny. But the beaches of Dunkirk are very long, and therefore bombs that went off might actually go off a quarter of a mile away and wouldn't have been deafening. But this whole film was clearly made with a view for you to experience it in the cinema, a little bit like something like Gravity or indeed Interstellar. If you end up watching this on your iPhone, you're missing the point. This is spectacle. This is cinema on the grandest scale. It's the cacophony of war. It's the stunningly visual. And you know what? Hans Zimmer's score is is terrifying. It's definitely, if quite frankly, if that doesn't win Best Soundtrack next year at the Oscars, there has been a gross injustice, because it's quite frankly the most stressful soundtrack I've ever heard, and adds so much to the overall disaster, feeling of impending disaster, with only the briefest sense of relief at the end. This is not a movie of jingoism or heroism. This is a movie about survival and humanity. And in Christopher Nolan's words, and this is where I'll finish off, in terms of military, it's a defeat. In terms of humanity, it is a glorious success. And I would add to that, in terms of filmmaking, this is a masterpiece. Go see this film. Tell Hollywood we'd like to see more well-made movies, and it doesn't have to be about Americans for World War II. On that point, I'll leave it there. Thanks for listening. Longer podcast on Tuesday.